Well, you mentioned Palmer and Elijah. I mean, you know, those are two good players, quality players that have been around the league a little bit. And it's funny, sometimes guys catch fire when they come here. And I'm looking forward to watching those two play real football now, not what was happening in the spring. They're two quality young men. I think they're going to be really good players for us, really good for our culture. They each bring a little bit of a different personality to the team, to the table and the mix. And that's good for us as well.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, he spoke yesterday, the training camp opener press conference for McDermott. Coming up, maybe about 10, 15 minutes, Joe Brady. We'll see what time he gets started. There are two dueling press conferences coming up here. We've got Governor Kathy Hochul, who will be near us at a press conference.
Like 20 starting, feet to our right.
Yeah, 20 feet right here. There's a tent next to us. So that's going on. There's a little announcement about, I believe it is in conjunction with something DeMar Hamlin has been doing as well. So the governor and DeMar Hamlin working on AEDs and CPR and things like that. So we'll get you the latest on that. And then Joe Brady across the field where the Bills tend to do their press conferences coming up at 9:15. We'll carry that one for you live. Joe Brady.
What still in awe that I this Browns thing's fake. I'm just shaking it off still.
Yeah. Yeah, it was indeed a staged event. I'm looking for – I just had something I was trying to track down for you, and I lost it for a moment.
I have earlier – I was looking for some potential trivia. We had Matt Bovee on. Has a player named Josh ever caught a pass from Josh Allen? Because Josh Palmer will become the first. And Josh Allen has a touchdown on a Josh Allen pass.
True.
There really isn't much crossover like on any one given name.
No.
No, like there's not multiple Coles. There's not multiple Stephons.
You just want to go with did a player
Gabe's.
You want to do yes or no? Play a quick game of has a player with this name caught a pass from Josh Allen?
All right.
Like real touchdown, fake touchdown?
Has a player named Latavius ever caught a pass from Josh Allen?
The hardest thing will be whether or not the guy caught one. Like Latavius Murray, yes.
He did.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Latavius Murray.
Remember actually he caught that pass against Kansas City where he fumbled it and they let him.
They gave it to him.
They gave it to him.
Yep.
Has a player named Joe ever not caught a pass from Josh Allen?
Joe. Has anyone named Joe caught a pass from Josh Allen? Joe. Is this an easy one? Should I get this? No.
It's an easy name.
No.
Correct. No one named Joe has ever done it.
No Joes.
How about a Jeremy?
Preseason 2? Jeremy Maclin.
No,
wasn't there a flirtation with Jeremy Maclin?
No. Here?
Yeah. That's
no. Jeremy Maclin?
I think so.
Are you thinking of Jordan Matthews?
No, I'm thinking of Sean McDermott saying Jeremy's a great person, and it was because he was talking about Jeremy Maclin, who might have crossed over for a 5-minute training camp situation.
I am usually pretty good at, like, guys that were here for – like, Dominic Rhodes, Colts running back, was here at camp for, like, a week.
Yep.
I do not remember – I don't think he ever was at a camp for the Bills.
We have the clip of McDermott saying Jeremy's a great person, and I'll leave it at that. I think he was talking.
You sure that's him?
I think he was talking about Jeremy Maclin.
It's not another. It's another Jeremy. Because either way, I don't have a Jeremy on this list. I have a Jameson.
All right,
but not a Jeremy. Jameson Crowder.
Retired in 2019. He was at the Ravens. Released by the Chiefs.
How about Matt?
Matt.
Has there ever been a Matt to catch a pass from the Bills, or from Josh Allen specifically? I should say.
Matt Breida.
Matt Breida. Good. 7. Not a lot. What are the craziest names? Ray Ray is a name. Mm-hmm. First name, of course. Ray Ray McLeod caught 4 passes from Josh Allen. You got a Lee Smith. How about
Jeremy Maclin took a free agent visit to Western New York in 2017.
Okay, free agent visit, but he didn't sign?
Sure, but the coach talked about him.
Like 8 years ago.
So he did. He did not catch a pass from Josh.
Okay, gotcha.
Is it bad that it's day 2 of camp and you're asking me names of players that Josh has thrown touchdown
hey,
passes
listen,
to?
This is a exercise in the Bills are as elite as any team I have ever seen at not having any drama. This team, James Cook has every reason to hold out right now and just not holding out. No one's ever held out. I heard Bean say yesterday that maybe they have an official count or qualification for what qualifies as a holdout because he said that they never had a holdout
until TJ Sanders,
who missed a couple of workouts or practices. He's like, oh, he just became our number one. So we almost had a had a perfect score going. Like, this doesn't even really count, though. This team has not had any holdouts, contract drama, just nothing. It was like, in 8 years, Diggs didn't show up for a day of minicamp.
Right.
That is it.
And he did show up.
Right, he was in the facility.
And they told him to go home.
He just went home.
Yeah.
Like, that is the extent of Bills drama at this time of year. I mean, imagine what life in Cincinnati is like. You got multiple guys at a time every year.
And Dallas, too. Yeah, these teams.
It's just constant. Like, it's a yearly occurrence. You're expecting to talk about something that's going on that's related to all that stuff.
That McDermott clip might have been about Jeremy Curley, who did play for the Bills.
Aha, he started.
He did. Jeremy Curley played.
That would make more sense.
All right. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Bills training camp today and practice number two. Joe Brady will speak in about maybe 5 to 10 minutes. When that starts, we will carry that live for you here on WGR to hear from the Bills offensive coordinator entering his second season. One quick thing. I thought of this on the way in. I had the drive in this morning, and – you know, whenever training camp starts, Bills fans, we love to do the thing where we, hey, remember that guy? Hey, remember that guy? Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me, how old were you? How well did you know the Bills? How well do you remember the Greg Williams era? I had myself thinking about the Greg Williams era on the drive up here.
When is he fired? 2003?
Three, I think so.
Okay, so I am 8 years old. Okay. So, like, my very earliest faded memories of the Bills as a child, he's the coach, but there's not much. Like, really, Bledsoe is my first clear memories.
Yeah.
And Greg Williams is before that.
Because Greg Williams, you know, we talk about the drought, and he's at the very, very beginning of it. And when it's Greg Williams, it's so far back. We remember Malarkey, Jaron, Chan, Rex Ryan.
Skipped over Doug there.
I know. But, man, Greg Williams was a special version of, like, all the way to the nth degree of cocky coordinator that came in. And I can remember playing the quotes. I'm producing for Coach Chuck Dickerson at that point, or maybe popping in for a fill-in role at that point. And it's Greg Williams saying, like, I know a little something about how to play defense. He predicted they were going to set the sack record. As a head coach just coming here, yeah, we're going to set the sack record this year. He was the complete antithesis of everything they're doing right now. That's back when you're doing two-a-days. He's blasting the air horn at guys. He's a disciplinarian, the kind of coach that, you know, looking back, like, can you believe that guy got bounced out of league for a year for a bounty scandal? Like, yes. Yes, I can.
I mean, it's almost hard to believe he coached as long as he did.
He coached for
a long
time.
He was a crazy person the entire time, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was just so brash, and he was a lot like one of these coaches that, like, he can't believe his team's not winning, and he thinks it's not his fault. There's a game where they get beat by 40, and he's up there at the podium saying, we didn't execute. Imagine getting beat by 40 and saying, it wasn't my fault. Right. I did my job. That was the Greg Williams era. So, yeah, nuts. Just nuts.
Yeah, I'm reading Reddit posts right now about the Greg Williams era, and, like, he often – would blame players when things didn't go well. Huge disciplinarian.
Yep. Blamed players. That was the thing.
Blame players.
We didn't execute. I'm pretty sure they lost 35-10 to the Niners and said they didn't execute. 2001 in San Francisco.
Yep.
I mean, man, it was a time. We remember all these players, but geez, that guy. And who was his coordinator? Kevin Gilbride? I think
that
Kevin Gilbride's
right.
The offensive coordinator and Greg Williams is the defensive man.
That sounds right.
And Jerry Gray? Jerry Gray.
Jerry Gray.
Defensive coordinator Jerry Gray.
Bobby April was the special teams guy, probably.
Bobby April. What a time, Greg Williams.
Yeah. He has not coached in the NFL since 2020. In fact, do you remember, you might remember.
He called the cover
final
zero
play
blitz
call,
for the Jets.
That was his final play call in the NFL ever.
Yeah.
Cover zero for the Jets, and everybody immediately assumed they were tanking.
Right.
Because they were in the number one spot for Trevor Lawrence. And they had it. And then cover zero blitz, Derek Carr throws a touchdown at the end of the game. And then they fired Williams, which was probably just a safe face because they probably were happy that they did that. Lost it anyway, though.
You know, it's striking me that there's an irony in when a team is really bad, you talk about the good old days.
Yeah.
And then when a team is really good, sometimes you like to talk about the bad old days.
And it's like, can you believe we did that?
Yeah, I'm like,
can you believe?
We all went through that.
And when Rex ate a dog biscuit, like, can you remember
that happened.
This?
He did that. He ate a dog biscuit at training camp. That was nuts.
Two coaches have quit.
All right, Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady beginning his chat with the media. Here it comes.
What are the advantages of, or maybe challenges, of having most of your offense back?
I mean, there's way more advantages than challenges, but I think we have a good group of guys we talked about in the spring where we kind of just start over. So regardless of, it could be 11 new guys or 11, you know, guys that have been here for, you know, 5-10 years, we try to have the same approach, the same mindset. Like, we haven't earned anything right now. And so just taking it day by day, but, you know, you love it when you know some of your guys, and it gives you an opportunity right now to continue to grow their game, not just say, hey, this is just what we did last year. You know, at the same time, then you get some new guys in here that you get a little more hands-on and trying to see how they can kind of work together in your bunch.
What about the hat? I just noticed.
Yeah, you know, it's look, we made some hats. Guys made some hats last year, and so you go away to training camp, you always get some things, whether it's shirts or hats and whatever. So we went with the hats this year, man. So guys are always about it.
Sorry, from your standpoint, what do Elijah and Josh Palmer specifically bring as a skill set to the offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now training camp, that's part of the process of seeing that out. Like, God bless you. We have clearly a vision for, you know, when we bring them here of what we think it's going to look like, but sometimes that's just a mindset of, hey, what they've shown on tape or the skill set that we think they have, and now it's an opportunity right now to put them in different positions. And, you know, it's our job to not necessarily ask guys to do something that they can't do, but right now we're in the process of figuring that out. And just because something might go out there today and, you know, it might not look great, doesn't mean it's something they can't do, right? We're working through it. We're going to stay after, talk with Josh. You know, the body language is just continue working with things. And that doesn't mean, hey, once we get to the season, oh, we might not do it, you know? So we're just in the process of just trying to figure that all out right now.
Hey, Joe, with Spencer out, Tylan gets an opportunity to work with the starters. What is it about him that you guys liked last year as a rookie? And what have you seen, you know, from him this offseason leading into camp now?
Well, he's extremely athletic, which is, I mean, look, he was a high school quarterback and, you know, moved around. So you can see how cerebral he is, and you get that athleticism. And so it was a guy that, you know, you're trying to get a feel of, is he a guard? Is he a tackle going through it? And, you know, he brings such versatility to be able to play, you know, four spots. And, look, he took advantage of all the reps last year. We got two veteran tackles, so it allows him to get a lot of reps and the walkthroughs. And obviously, I'd love to have Spencer out there, but a guy like Graves, him getting as many reps as possible right now is just great for him. And he's embraced it, and excited to see him compete right now.
He dealt with the injury last year, but, you know, when he was able to get back from that, you guys entrusted him in that swing tackle role, which is a pretty big one. For a rookie to kind of take that on, what did that say about how maybe cerebral, as you just said there, that he was able to pick it up and you guys could put him in a role where you trusted him like that?
Yeah, look, you know, Sean and Brandon, they do an incredible job of, like, the character of the guys that we're bringing in here. And you know, fortunate, like, we don't care what round they come in. You come in here, you have opportunity to compete, and he made the most of his opportunities. And even when he was hurt, making sure he's taking advantage of the mental elements of the game, so that when you come back into it, it's hard playing football and not getting the reps and still feeling like you got it. But you know, it was really cool to see a guy take advantage of it and then have that opportunity in the last regular season game to kind of go in there. And that's a lot for a rookie to not play and to not get a lot of practicing in. It kind of speaks volumes to kind of who he is, his mindset, his approach. Obviously, you guys know how I feel about the O-line coaching room, but, you know, speaking more of his character, it showed everything last year.
Hey, Jim, what do you need to see from Ray Davis this year, taking that jump to year two? I mean, he got some good work in last year. With James' situation moving down the road, Ray's in a position here. What do you need to see from him?
Yeah, look, I try to not set, like, hey, this is what you have to be this year. This is what you have to do this to be able to launch this into next year. Right now, it's like, hey, you know, just execute what we're asking you to do right now. We might put some more on this plate, but the biggest thing I always see from a rookie from one year to the next is just the communication, the comfort level. This is his second time going through training camp. Him understanding that, feeling more comfortable to talk to the offensive line. How'd you guys see that block? You know, hey, was I patient enough with that? Whereas a rookie, look, you're just, at the end of the day, you're getting the hose, you know, sprayed on your face trying to just get through. And so I'm just trying to see that just his comfort level and his approach and mindset and understanding of I'm not just running an offensive play. I'm understanding the scheme. I'm understanding how the defense is kind of playing it and then how that's all going to kind of work together.
How do you anticipate how defenses are going to attack you guys differently just given your success and just, I guess, planning on different types of wrinkles that you could throw in to keep people off guard, just given how much they've probably been watching what you guys did last year and how it led to your success?
Well, like I think every year, regardless of if you have success or not, you have to evolve your game. You can be the number one offense in the league, and people are going to study the number one offense. And if you just try to just take that playbook and just repeat it the next year, you're not going to have the same success. Or you're playing the odds right there. And so a big thing for us this offseason is, hey, what were we good at? All right, how did teams attack us? We have to continue to improve on that. We can't just be like, hey, we were good with that. We'll be good with that next year. But we have to find ways to get better. And we obviously weren't good enough last year. And so hey, is there some motions that we can mess with, some pass schemes? We got some new players. What are some concepts that we didn't run last year? Can we do it now? And so that's part of what training camp is we have a bigger menu that we'll go in than we will in the season. But, hey, let's experiment right now. Let's try to get it. And then as we get a little tighter, it's like, hey, we got to figure out kind of who we're going to be. And I'm not really right now concerned with how teams are going to attack us, more so just focusing on us just installing the system and kind of going from there.
Joe, in addition to experimenting with stuff right now, how are offensive players involved in those conversations?
Largely, like, you guys know how I am. Like, the communication element to me is huge. It's critical. It's not my offense. It's their offense. They make it go. And if I just try to say, hey, everything is just so black and white, this is the only way to do it, and don't get their feedback, you know, sometimes as coaches, we can draw things on the board, and it sounds like a great idea, but can they actually do that? You know, it's like, if I'm offense lineman, it's like, you got to see that guy and that guy. Like, how do you do that? You know, and so sometimes it's asking for their feedback. Doesn't necessarily mean every single time they say something, we're doing that, but it's that dialogue and that comfortableness. We want to empower them, right? We want to give them ownership, and if we do that, we feel like they'll take and kind of run with it. So part of as we go is that communication. The less I'm talking in meetings, the better. Right, when the quarterbacks and the receivers are having the meetings and they're the ones communicating, that's when it's going to be the offense that we ultimately want to be.
I remember last year at this time we were talking about Khalil being the only receiver that had caught passes from Josh Allen in previous seasons, and I know you got Josh and Elijah in the mix now, but you're bringing back a lot of continuity in that room. From an offensive coordinator perspective, how much more comfortable do you feel with having a handle on that group and what they do well and how to position them in a success?
Look, I think as a coordinator, you can't allow yourself to ever be comfortable, you know, in a sense of, you know, look, we had Keon came back. He was a rookie last year. How can we evolve his game and figure out what he can do differently than we had last year? So we have Khalil back. There's a lot of, with the new, you know, we kind of have the same approach as we had last year. Like, I have to get a feel of how Joshua Palmer, you know, how LV, how Elijah Moore, like how these guys run the routes, how they can kind of intertwine into kind of who we are as an offense, and then mix that with the Khalils of the world, the Keons, our tight ends, running backs. So there's a level of like, hey, I understand kind of who some of these guys are, but I don't want to just pigeonhole them and say, hey, Keon couldn't do this last year, so he's not going to be able to do that this year. So I'm still trying to just not allow yourself to get comfortable, both them and us.
How do you view the quarterback behind Josh, like as camp's getting underway and with three guys behind him? Like, how do you look at splitting up those limited snaps that you think?
Yeah, the QB room is critical. Everybody always talks. We have Josh Allen, and don't get me wrong, he's a big reason why I'm sitting right here is because of Josh Allen, and he makes all of our lives easy. But the room, the QB room in general, is there's so many nuances to it, and how close they are, how much they compete, but how much they help each other out. You know, Josh does a great job, but from the top to the bottom, no matter who's getting the reps, they're just talking in the room. They all feel like they have a voice. You know, they were all back last year, and just seeing how the room was, just preparing for a game week, like just because Josh is taking all the reps in practice and playing, you know, having three other guys in the room helping throughout the week of watching tape and doing all that, that's so huge to the room. Look, it's hard getting four reps. It's the reality. It's hard just, you know, with the amount of reps that you get in practice. But we have to take advantage of after practice, staying after, kind of getting as much as we can. The walkthroughs, part of being the quarterback is the cerebral, is the mental element, and getting as much as you can, because, look, you might not get a lot of reps in practice, but come preseason, we're going to need you to play. And so it makes it a little tough, but I love where they're at. I love their mindset, and we're throwing a lot on their plates, and, you know, just see who can handle it and how they respond. You know, with different wide receivers, different running backs in the game, a different center. There's a lot to that, and I love the type of guys we have in that room.
Keon was very blunt. I gave a blunt self-assessment when we talked to him back in June. what is on the line for him, or how have you seen him respond to being motivated to improve on what some of the things he needed to improve on this heading into his second season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think when you say like what's on, like to me, it's no different. The same thing that Josh Allen is trying to prove this year is the same thing that Keon Coleman and James Cook and Connor, like everybody has it. There's no like, I think if you ever get comfortable in the NFL, it's like I made it, I'm good. You know, issues are going to happen. Keon's his hardest critic, right? And I love that about him. So I don't want to pigeonhole him to say like, hey, this is what he has to do, and if he doesn't do this, he's not taking a step. Like, I have so much confidence in Keon. Maybe I'm clearly higher on how Keon played last year based off some of the questions I've gotten. But I love his approach, his mindset. He goes out there again. Once the pads come on, that's when I believe truly wide receiver play happens. The physicality element, when DBs have their hands on you, being able to make the plays. But I love Keon's approach. He's one of the smartest wide receivers we have. And I'm excited as training camp kind of progresses to see him just continue to evolve and see his dialogue with Josh and them understanding, hey, this is how I'm going to throw you the ball different than it might be if I'm throwing it to Curtis Samuel or Elijah Moore, those type of things.
Joe, with all the depth in the wide receiver, how does a guy like Caden Prather make an impression?
I mean, it's tough right now. You know, you're a rookie coming in. It's like, man, I want to get reps with Josh Allen. I want to throw with the starting quarterback, but the reality of it is really tough. I try to tell the guys, like, it doesn't matter – you know, what group you're going with, who's throwing you the ball, who's in the huddle. Just take advantage of your opportunities. The rest will take care of itself. And, again, I speak to the character. You know, we were opportunity to get him in the seventh round. Has a lot of talent, a lot of developmental skills. To him, it's the biggest thing is just getting as many reps as he possibly can right now. And no one wants it, but you want them to kind of make mistakes because they learn from the mistakes. They see it. They all want to be perfect. A rookie wants to be perfect, and I only get six snaps. I got to be perfect and all. It's like you make the mistakes. You talk through it. You get the coaching. And just seeing how they respond to it, that's the biggest thing for me.
Joe, what does it say about James given his situation that he's here fully participating yesterday and just being with the team?
I mean, that's James Cook. Like, James is a football player. Like, when you roll the ball out, he wants to play ball. All the other stuff kind of takes care of itself. And I understand it's the business element that's bigger than me. But you know, when he's here with his teammates and he has to be here, man, he's as locked in, as dialed in. You saw the way that he played last year, and how can we continue to evolve his game and be better? And he takes that on. You know, he's laughing with the guys, so there's no difference. You know. There was never a doubt the way, you know, he would kind of approach it, show up, and kind of go with it. And I'm excited to have him both for another year for sure.
Joel, when you look at your own approach to training camp, what feels like the biggest difference from right now to this time last year?
I try to start over. Like, if I'm asking our guys to start over, I'm trying to do the same thing. You know, I've been through the meetings maybe a little different, you know, where last year it was like, hey, today, hey, when do we have unit meetings? So I have at least I understand the schedule of how we're kind of going with it. But I have to continue to improve. I have to have the same mindset. So I know it sounds like coach talk or like, you know, maybe press conference speak, but that's kind of how I embody myself of like, I have to find ways to improve. So it's a completely new year for me. And I try to kind of have the approach like today, hey, it's completely different than last year install too, and not care about the results, kind of surrender it, just bring the energy, drive the energy, create clarity, and everything else will take care of itself.
When you're looking for those ways to improve, is that like self-reflection? Is that getting feedback from other people? Like, where are you trying to start that process of figuring out where to get better?
I mean, I think you always, the first and foremost, you start with yourself. Like, if you're not willing to look at yourself and think that you have to improve, you're probably not going to take feedback from anybody else. And so, I'm always going to be my hardest critic, but I value the opinions of others. And so I always want, you know, I'm big in the staff rooms and meeting rooms. Like, hey, is this the best way? Is this the way we need to do this? Hey, making sure we're all on the same page. We have a group of players and a group of coaches that feel comfortable. You know, if I'm going to show my vulnerability, that feel comfortable having the connection and saying, hey, if Joe's asking, let's talk through it. And I don't think you improve unless you have that.
What Joe,
two more for Joe.
I think I spoke about it in OTAs, like Dalton from the season ending to here, you know, he was in the building every single day, working out, doing what he has to do, both in rehab, but also just continuing to be able to play a full season in the NFL. And he has such a unique skill set that is so valuable to us. And you guys all know when healthy, what he brings to our offense. And so it's, you see a little bit of it yesterday. You know, it's so exciting to be able to get him back on the football field and be able to throw him the ball and getting Josh on the same page with him again. He's a huge component to who we are. And,
His work ethic in the off season. Obviously, we're only day two in, but I'm excited to really see it kind of progress. Where, you know, if you guys remember training camp last year, he was obviously probably our best football player, and so I'm excited for him. Not setting expectations, not setting, hey, he has to do this, he has to do that. I just want him to be Dalton Kincaid and trust that I'll put him in a position to have success, and he'll make the most of it.
But this is specific to James Cook, but from an overall running back level around the NFL. It seemed to when Derrick Henry can change teams and Saquon Barkley can change teams, and there seems to be a perception that running backs are undervalued around the NFL. What's your thoughts on that when it comes to that?
Well, I think it's one, you have to define what value is, and value in every organization and every team, and I can't speak for them, might view certain position groups differently. Some teams might view a big, powerful left guard differently than some teams want the undersized guy that might be able to run wide zone. Some teams, you know, view it as, hey, we need to invest everything in one wide receiver. Some like to spread it out. So it's like, I don't think there's any, set way, and every organization is a little different. We obviously value the running back room. You can see how much we utilized all three of those guys last year. It's extremely important to us for our success, and fortunately, we have a bunch of the guys in those room that kind of embody that, and I'm excited to see them kind of roll this year.
That is Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. The sun has arrived. It's actually here earlier, but
it's arrived for you.
Yeah, for me. It's on.
I've got another 5 minutes.
I've got the lens flare on the camera. It's really beautiful and artistic. Yeah, you can watch our stream on YouTube. You can of course listen, download the app, the Odyssey app. Listen to WGR 550 on the radio. Watch us on the stream. Joe Brady right there. Some interesting things about Keon Coleman, among others. Mm-hmm. We're gonna break in. Something we heard from that.
Also, when we come back, I've got the first player that I've seen that Hard Knocks will be featuring.
Excellent. We'll tell you who that is. Also, we're going to talk to the director of Hard Knocks on Monday at 8 o'clock. So ahead of the first episode, we'll get maybe a sneak peek on how the process all works. It's going to be Monday from training camp as we're here throughout here on WGR.
I think every year, regardless of if you have success or not, you have to evolve your game. You can be the number one offense in the league, and people are going to study the number one offense. And if you just try to just take that playbook and just repeat it the next year, you're not going to have the same success. Or if you are, you're playing the odds right there. And so a big thing for us this offseason is, hey, what were we good at? How did teams attack us? We have to continue to improve on that. We can't just be like, hey, we were good with that. We'll be good with that next year. But we have to find ways to get better. And we obviously weren't good enough last year. And it's, hey, is there some motions that we can mess with? Some pass schemes? We got some new players. What are some concepts that we didn't run last year? Can we do it now?
Well, Mr. Joe Brady with exactly what you should say about an offense that was great. Sure, it was great. Wasn't good enough because we didn't win.
Uh-huh.
Maybe there's some things we could do better. Maybe we need some better players.
I think you said absolutely we could get better. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that from Mr. Joe Brady, who we expect to talk to on Monday. Joe Brady also wearing an Everybody Eats hat.
Yeah. I have one problem with his Everybody Eats hat.
What's
it's
that?
Not that he has an Everybody Eats hat.
Is it that it's a khaki hat?
Nope.
What is it?
It's that it says EST 2024. I am like annoyed by the assertion that Everybody Eats as a concept was created last year when they had offenses in 2020, 2021, and maybe less so 2022. But those first two years of Diggs, Beasley, and Brown.
Everybody ate.
Everybody ate.
Yeah, they threw it everywhere.
Gabe Davis should say EST 2020.
It should not even say, well, whatever. The use of it as a rallying call established 2024. There are also lots of teams that do it. Like the Eagles do that too, you know. Anyway, love that from Brady on having a great offense. Like, congratulations, work harder. That's really what his message. Oh,
yeah.
You were number one last year. Congratulations, it's this year. Like, the Lions were number one last year in offense. The Bills were number two. Congratulations, work harder. Like I think I had said a couple times coming into camp, what will the message be about camp? About the year? And I like that from Brady quite a bit. He also defended Keon Coleman a little bit, talking about his intelligence, his work ethic. You know, he said, I'm a little higher on Coleman than I think a lot of people based on some of the questions I've been getting.
Yep.
And, you know, there are people going to ask questions about Coleman because, in part because the Bills are not using him the way that
the general scouting community thinks he would be best used.
Right.
So as long as that's happening, I think you're going to get those questions, and you might not even see the best version of Coleman himself, but can the Bills turn that into, you know, the number one offense and being as good as they can? Those things don't have to be at odds.
Right. So there is some breaking news in the NFL. The Jets are practicing early this morning, and Justin Fields carted off practice, and they ended practice for the offense for the day. There are more details in the last minute. The Jets were running through team drills. Fields went down, stood back up, sat down again, limped off the field very gingerly to the trainer's table where they were working on, it looked like, his right foot and ankle area.
Okay.
And then he couldn't walk from the table, so they had to cart him to the locker room.
Okay, so.
And everybody in the Jets world is freaking out about the potential of it being something Achilles related.
I'm glad this happened in day two because it is important to remember it is cart season.
Fields, carted off isn't what it used to
that's
be.
Right.
Yeah,
Fields
that's right.
are sometimes far away.
Right.
Like, oh, you're limping. Why don't we just drive you there?
Significant limp, though, I will
okay.
say.
Okay.
This one says significant limp.
Okay.
No, you're right, though. You're right. Sometimes just walking gingerly, whatever, just like let's take the cart. This one, though, most of the Jets reporters that I'm seeing are like, this one doesn't look good.
Okay.
But coach will talk after. Could end up being not as bad. Or, again, like, I mean, Aaron Rodgers limped off the field with an Achilles injury. And I think that's probably why Jets people are fearing it, because they just saw their starting quarterback 2 years ago limp off the field, and then he was done for the season. Their backup, by the way, is Tyrod Taylor still, if you're wondering.
Oh, watch Joe become a Jets fan
Tyrod
before your
season.
Eyes.
No, I mean, Jets fan.
Before your very eyes.
But listen, I'm just saying, watch out.
You'll have a Tyrod jersey by the end of the week.
No, I can't get a Jets jersey.
No.
Their jerseys stink.
That's right.
They've never had good jerseys.
You know what stinks about the Jets? The Jets font stinks.
Like the Jet J?
The font looks like it's stuck in a, I don't know.
It looks like it's a plane. It's like a plane,
it's
right?
It's bad. It's a bad font.
Is it worse than the new Packer helmets?
The new Packer helmets,
I
you haven't
like
seen
the new
those.
Helmets.
The new Packer helmets are, what if you played Madden and picked leather helmets to wear and they painted leather helmets on a helmet. That's
right.
The
right.
new Packers helmet, which is, I mean.
I think they actually look pretty good. I think they look sharp when they're on the players.
Okay, but
when
a
you
problem.
See them without there's, the players, I feel like for some reason I don't like them.
There's one problem.
What?
The Packers don't own the rights to leather helmets.
I know.
I know. They're saying, we're old. We get it. But
if anybody.
Any team can wear those.
Okay, then wear them. Anybody go. Could the Bills wear them?
Sure.
They had leather helmets, right? But does anybody have claim to historic and old stuff more than Green Bay? I mean, they are, you know.
I mean, the Giants wore, like, leather-colored pants.
The Giants kind of wore – the Giants probably had, like, a colored leather helmet, didn't they? Isn't that kind of what their throwback was last year?
Yeah, kind of.
Or the Steelers. The Steelers might have had yellow leather helmets.
Right.
Did they color leather? Did everybody color leather? Or was it just, like, was everyone wearing the brown leather?
You know what?
I don't know.
It's a great question.
The Packers also wore, with Rodgers as their quarterback, years ago, a similar throwback.
Yeah.
But they didn't have the texture on it, and these ones look way better.
Well, technology has advanced to a state to make it look like the helmet's leather now, I suppose.
I guess. So I'm into them.
All right. 803-0550. Fields carted off the field.
Significant limp, right foot ankle injury.
Would they trade for a quarterback? Or, wait, Tyrod Taylor has the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever.
Win the division?
Break the two longest droughts in NFL history. Right? I don't know if they're the two longest.
But
what if he broke the Jets drought?
He would be...
Let's make a deal.
He would have to be nicknamed Drought Breaker.
Let's make
forever.
A deal right now. If Tyrod is the starter and gets the Jets to the playoffs, he goes to Canton.
Oh, goes to Canton. I was going to say put him on the Sabres.
Put him in the hall. sign him to the Sabres. That's funny. Tyrod, would they trade for a quarterback? Cousins?
Now
we got a break.
Cousins or Tannehill?
Still active?
I don't know where he is. He didn't play last year, right? Those guys are not good enough better than Tyrod to warrant trading
for him. Yes, they are.
They are?
Yes, they are.
Cousins could not move last
year. He's better than Tyrod by
right
a lot.
Right now?
Yes.
I don't know if I agree with that.
100%, yes.
Cousins stunk last year.
He's better than Tyrod.
I'm not sure about that.
Tyrod's 8 years older from what you remember.
Tyrod can move.
All right, break time. Extendo Sports and the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right. Wrapping things up here. My computer crashed, maybe because of the heat.
I think it's because the sun is burning your laptop alive. It is hot.
It's warm here.
You are golfing in this today?
I will be golfing this afternoon, yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Good luck with you on that.
Yeah, well, you know, do the best I can. Hey, a quick thing that also happened today while we were here, there was a press conference with the governor. Governor Kathy Hochul was here, along with State Senator April Baskin. And in conjunction with those two, Deesha Sanders' family and Damar Hamlin and other officials, there's a law now. Deesha's law, a bill authorized that will require public schools across New York State to provide cardiac arrest training and a cardiac emergency response plan in order to access AEDs to be used for students because April Baskin's cousin died suffering cardiac arrest. An AED was on the premises, but there were no clear protocols on how to access the device. So as part of that, like, it's not enough just to have an AED. You also, in a public school and all that, have to have a cardiac arrest training plan and a response plan. So news today to, you know, protect kids.
Nice.
Good idea. I'm into it.
Yeah.
So that happened over about 10 feet from us. We were just working through it.
We were just talking over
about that's the kind of focus
Alan's throwing passes to.
That's the kind of focus.
And Greg Williams. We were yelling about Greg Williams while they were doing a very important conference.
I almost dropped the Kendrick Office reference while there was a press conference from the governor going on.
Who's that?
How about that Kendrick Office? Kendrick Office. Who was he? He was a Bills draft pick that I think I got one sack in the game. You got to look up this game the Bills lost to the Niners.
Kendrick Office.
Yes, because after that game, Greg Williams, one of the greatest quotes of all time, said, "I thought Brian Moorman punted the ball really well," because that's all the Bills did that day.
Sounds like a lot. Like a lot of the drought.
It really happened where a coach said, "I thought Brian Moorman punted the ball well."
The coach saying that.
And then he also said, "How about that Kendrick Office? Because maybe he got a sack or something." I don't know. There was a who knows.
Wild. Kendrick Office.
Kendrick Office.
He had two sacks in his first game ever for the Bills. He had one sack the rest of his career. Two in his first game, one rest of career.
How about that Kendrick Office? So he's like the Steve Bernier of the Bills.
Yes. Yeah, look at his debut. Two sacks, seven tackles.
Against who?
They lost 21-11 to New England.
Oof.
In 2001.
Not going to remember that one.
That's a Patriot. That's a break. Oh, it's Bledsoe. Brady's not in yet.
That's in New England?
Yep. 0-1, Foxborough.
Like an opener or just his first game? Not an opener.
No, that's his first game, I guess. Okay. So week 8.
So they lost. How about that Kendrick Office?
Antoine Smith had two touchdowns for the Patriots, including a 42-yarder. Alex Van Pelt threw a touchdown to Peerless Price.
Nothing.
Jake Arians kicked a field goal for the Bills. I've never heard of that person.
All right, I have. All right, we got to go. Joe's back here tomorrow. I'm off tomorrow, so I'll check in on Monday.
Me and Sal tomorrow morning.
You and Sal tomorrow here from training camp at St. John Fisher. Stay tuned. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up.